Bhagavan, these people are all the oneness trainers and regional managers in Scandinavia, and also coordinators from Norway. They have newly become coordinators from Norway. And their names are Susanne and Ausgeir Bhagavan. You can greet Bhagavan.
Yes, yes.
Namaste, Bhagavan.
Namaste, Bhagavan.
So good to be with you.
Namaste. So happy to be with you.
And then, Bhagavan, we have Siv and Klaas from the western part of Sweden. Klaas, Siv, are you there? And then, Bhagavan, we have Annette from south of Sweden. Annette, are you there?
Yes, namaste, Bhagavan. Love you.
And then there is Pernilla from the south of Sweden, Bhagavan.
Namaste, Bhagavan.
Namaste.
And then we have Gitte and Marie from Denmark, Bhagavan.
Namaste, Bhagavan.
Namaste.
And then there is Perlan and Minanda from Sweden, Bhagavan.
Namaste.
And
Namaste. Mickey is here also, Bhagavan, through another phone. Yes.
Yes.
And then we have Kaisa from Stockholm, Bhagavan.
Yes. Namaste, Bhagavan.
Namaste.
Love you.
And we have Lena from the north of Sweden, Bhagavan.
Namaste, Bhagavan. I love you so much.
And then there is Mikke, the young boy who is handling the youth, Bhagavan.
Namaste, Bhagavan.
Namaste, namaste.
And we have Ella Maria, who has a big region in Sweden, Bhagavan.
Namaste, Bhagavan.
Namaste.
And then there is Marie Ryd, Bhagavan, who brought a group of priests to you in September, Bhagavan. And she doesn't have the audio, but she can hear you, Bhagavan, so she sends her love, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, could you tell us, please, a little bit about the current situation?
First of all, it's the first time I'm doing this kind of a conference call. I'm just amazed at technology because I've never been exposed to this. Yes, the question is, what is the current situation?
Yes.
The current situation is Krishna came and met me. And they were saying that what they were doing was good for the moment. But I could not agree to that. And my stand remains unchanged. So they feel that what they are doing is for the moment. I could not see it like that. So my stand continues to be the same. That is the current situation.
Okay. Bhagavan, there are some people in the south of Sweden who are having a prep course for 50 to 60 people, this oneness experience course in a few weeks. And what do you think we should do about the fee, Bhagavan? Should it be for free or should they charge or what, she is asking.
First thing is, when they do these courses, there must not be any videos. People could understand and digest the contents in the videos, make it their own based on their life experiences, and it should become their truth, and from that they must talk. If it's only a video, it's a speech, it is not Vak. Vak has a special power of transforming people. And that must come from the person who's talking there. That is the live person who's conducting the course. he must base it on his life experience. He must discover that and he must talk. So I would say that there should be no videos. That is the first thing. The second thing is, with regard to the fees, I would say it is left to the discretion of the trainer. Suppose he goes to a poor locality where people cannot afford, he might have to do it free. Suppose he goes to a place where people can afford, he must fix such charges whereby it will meet all his expenses. And sometimes he can also charge more for his own survival. That depends on the person who's conducting the course. I want the person to have the freedom, not oneness stipulating conditions. Oneness's job is just to train people and let them go. They have to be on their own. They can organize themselves if they want to. What rules they want to form is their business. We as a body here, we should not interfere in this matter. These matters. Our only job is to keep training people and finally fade out from the scene. Because we are a group of monks, and monks should not crave for significance, for power, or anything for that matter. Monks should actually fade away after his work is done. Our work is only training the trainers, that's all. It's not that we should come there, we should conduct our courses. That way, the local place will never really develop. Unless the local people do the courses themselves, they organize things for themselves, without any outside interference, the dharma or the movement cannot grow. I have seen people from around the world who have taken oneness principles, adapted them, and do wonderful courses. I have been pointing out to this, and I have said, to be in tune with oneness, the trainer must have complete freedom. The trainer must not be restricted by a video or instructions from the headquarters. No. And regarding the fee structure, it's only a general guidance. Keep it free or charge enough so that you meet out the expenses. And in case you're a full-timer who's dependent on that, then charge to the extent that you can survive. It should not be a means to become a wealthy person or this or that. It should be a means for survival, that is all. And as our monks are concerned, they ought not to go out and do courses, but if they do, the local people will not grow, will not flourish. So their job is only to train and then quietly and anonymously leave the scene. This has been a tradition in India. There have been hundreds of great thinkers and spiritual giants who are the founders of Hinduism, but nobody knows their names. Nobody knows where they lived. They just gave their teachings and then they're anonymous and they faded away from the scene. That has been the tradition. And oneness also has the same principles. Fade away from the scene. Otherwise, it is going to become a cult. It will start controlling people in various ways and it will be creating more trouble to the world than good. As we see all these religions, what are they doing? They are causing more harm than good. And we'll be adding one more to this whole list of cults and groups and religions. So I do not want that to happen. I want to see it dissolved in my lifetime when I am healthy and strong, not when I become old. And I want to have a set timetable for this. And for me, the timetable is 2014. In 2014, we should cease to exist. This is my stand. This has always been my stand. This is not a new stand. It has always been my stand. There used to be a big board in Satyaloka and Jeevashram at the entrance, which said, this place exists to set man totally and unconditionally free. That has been my life. I have been working for that. How could I move away from that? But off late, I see things are moving in a direction where oneness is becoming like a structure. It is a capital, the O is it's a capital letter, no? I don't want a capital letter, which means it is an institution in itself. These are principles. It cannot be an institution and it cannot be a controlling body. Oneness is merely a set of principles like mathematics and physics and chemistry and biology, that's all. So that cannot be institutionalized. So this is my stand. Please continue.
Thank you so much, Bhagwan. Thank you. Bhagwan, there is one more question regarding this. According to the guides who have now stepped out from the order, so to speak, yes. According to them, they will continue just like before. Now, What do you, please give us some clarification on that, Bhagwan.
Now, let us say, Annie, you are running a, let us say, Bofors company. You are the boss of Bofors, and you appoint a manager for Bofors in South America. Then after some time, he makes some changes, and he claims he is the owner of Bofors. Would you agree to that?
No.
Same thing here. They have been sent out as monks, my monks, to do some particular work and come back. Now, you are not a monk anymore. You do not represent me anymore. So what right have you to continue the work? You have left me. You are not in the order. This work is supposed to be done by monks, sir. You are no more a monk. You are a normal person. And you have gone out there as my representative to do my courses. I have been training. These are my courses. And now since you have left me, how could you continue with them? What right have you got? Morally, ethically, legally, what are your rights? You have no rights whatsoever. That is why I call this a coup. I hope you understand by the word coup.
What was that, Bhagwan? Coup?
See, for example, in Africa and Asian countries, some general will overthrow the ruler, the president or the prime minister or the elected person, and take over the reins into his own hands. Sir. Like in Pakistan, Musharraf took over the reins from the democratically elected president.
Yes.
So it is not in a breakaway group. It's a coup because they hold the properties, they hold all the money with them, and they hold the website. I do not even have a website. It's all under their control, like you capture a radio station. So I'm literally not able to communicate with the world except through because you people happen to call up. I'm able to communicate. So it's like a takeover, right? Like a coup. You have no right to stay on in Italy or in England because you're moved away from me. You have cut the cord. You are on your own. So how do you represent me? What is the right you have? You don't have anything at all. But you continue to say you are oneness, sir. You say Amma Bhagwan's blessings are there. There are no. You say yes, Amma Bhagwan's permission. There's no permission. And you continue to do oneness there. What right have you got? You're taking the people for a ride. This is what is happening.
Hmm.
Yes, Annie, continue.
Thank you, Bhagwan. Thank you for this clarification. Bhagwan, we have Mickey, the young boy, and he has a few questions he would like to put to you, Bhagwan. Is that all right?
Perfectly all right.
Mickey, go ahead. Mickey.
Yes, Bhagwan. My name is Mickey, and I'm a part of the youth training team together with Elias from Germany. Daniel Rochana from Italy and so on. What I want and what some other youth trainers want also is to go through a much deeper process of awakening. We went through the 21-day process and the level 2 process and the trainer course, but we feel we want to attend a much more powerful process with you. And I heard of a process where you are in a dark room for a long time with many dikshas and so on.
Yes.
Is that process being offered by you, or is that the level 3?
See, level 3 is basically interacting with me. What I have been telling them is, instead of you people going out of India and doing this course, come back to India, let us focus on the trainers. Time is running out. Let us not go about doing an LIO course or this course or that course. Let us get the trainers here. Let us work on them. Let us develop them. They will go and take care of the world. It's not our business to take care of the world. Our work is to train the trainers. But they're doing exactly the opposite. And level 3 is people coming to India and interacting with me on a daily basis in the temple or in the World Oneness Center, interacting with me. And part of that would be the dark room process. That is level 3. Now, what they were saying was, if you're going to ask them to come to India, you are making it to a cult. Now, my argument was, if I say, you must come to India, you must meet me, then it's a cult. All I'm saying is, you are welcome to come to India, and you are welcome to talk to me. When that is the case, how does it become a cult? And at this level, only I'll be able to talk. It is beyond them. They have not been given that training. They do not have that knowledge. It's I who has to interact with the trainers and develop them further. Why is it they don't like the idea of people coming here? Why is it they should be stopped there itself? this has been puzzling. And I said, 2012 is coming now. We are only a few people number. Let us gather together. We have to start meditating here in the temple. And that has to be Skyped all over the world. We must gather and meditate. That's why we have built the whole temple itself, or what we call the World Oneness Center. So, they are not for all these things, sir. So, time is running out. We have to improve the trainers very, very fast. We have to put more power into them, more teaching into them. They have to realize these teachings and talk from there. It will have a tremendous effect. But instead of that, you are wanting to start big, big LIOs all over the world, and they say soon it will be 5,000 people, then 10,000 people, then 30,000 people. We need all those people. You're almost at job is to focus on them. Why these big numbers? You'll only become a better known cult in that case. You'll become a dominating force. You'll be controlling people. That's not what we want. We don't want that many people. We don't want that much of money. We want all those things. We just have to work on our trainers. Pick up the good ones. If they say, no, they're not up to the mark. Why not? If they're not up to the mark, let's work on them. Let's improve them. And they're wonderful trainers also. We can update their knowledge. So many of them, they go out and do courses. It will not become a cult. And I said, let's give them freedom. They can add and subtract into the oneness. Oneness is not the only format. Oneness is like sugar. You can add it to coffee, tea, burn it out, chocolate, whatever you want. So I was telling, let us train them to divide their oneness. That is so we have to prevent this from becoming a cult. And we as an organization should slowly dissolve ourselves. But what they are doing is, they are destroying oneness. They are doing something which is not oneness. If you are going to control the trainer, it is not oneness. If you give a video and control him, that is not oneness. If you are going to tell how much money to collect, that much should go to the local body, that to this body, go to headquarters, that is not oneness. If the oneness trainer does not come from his own insights, that is not oneness. If the trainer does not have the freedom to add and subtract, that is not oneness. Whereas the monk, he has to stick to something. When they do the courses, they have got to stick. Because that's what we are giving. We can't give it in 100 different ways. That will confuse people. But let people make use of it in 100 different ways. So that is what we are telling. And the other thing is, I told them, please come back to India. What is the problem in coming back to India? Now, this problem is only with those dasas who left India. Not with dasas in India. The only problem with the Indian dasas have been those who have been conducting elite courses, who stay in elite homes, move with the elite, they are the ones who have gone out. Because I said, make those courses free in India. I said, India is a poor country. There are millions who can never afford these courses in their lives, sir. And when I said this, they were the most unhappy about it. No, we are monks. Why do we want all that money? Money we might need for some reasons. That's all. But then we have got to focus on the poor people. Why is it such an anathema that you don't want to mix with the poor? Are we some snobbish people? You're only monks, that's all. So whatever I have been proposing, they don't seem to be liking it. So once they've gone west, they don't want to come back to India. And I was considered all that. I said, okay, all right. Be until 2010 or the beginning of 2011. Then you've got to come back. You've got just 1 year after that. We have to work very, very hard. We have told the whole world 2012 something is going to happen. We said the temple will meditate. We'll pass on the energies. But you are not willing to come back here. Not willing to send people here. What is going on? Why should you stay back in the West? If you are going to stay back in the West, then why the trainers then? Trainers are the ones who are doing all the hard work. They are going out, meeting people, convincing them. So they should be given more power. It is their job, not ours. So what is the idea of camping in the West, wanting to stay on in Italy, or wanting to stay on in Fiji, or wanting to be there and conduct these LIOs and all this kind of stuff? Is that our work? Our work is spiritual work. To keep them probably in the dark room, make them meditate along with them, keep them in the temple, give them the insights. That is level 3. That is the next preparation. And I say 2014, we must be out of the scene. We must become anonymous slowly. Now, if you are going to do huge LIO programs, how do you become anonymous? It means we are building ourselves up. I want the reverse thing to happen. No building. The building up is only of the individual, not of oneness as a movement or an organization. All those hundreds of trainers, they have to be built up. And they can do, Ransia is there, for example. Now, he is a follower of Rajneesh. And in his courses, he combines oneness so beautifully, and it's so very effective. I've seen many other people, Chuck and Lindsay, for example, they mix up oneness in their courses. It's so wonderful it is. That's how it has to go. Why should they only stick to oneness? There's no need for that. these have been my arguments, and they don't like it. For whatever reason, I do not know. And I don't understand why they want to stay back in the West. And I don't understand why these LIOs. That is not our kind of stuff. We are a spiritual people. Oneness is simply a simple equation. Oneness is equal to psychology plus spirituality. If you remove spirituality, it is mere psychology. That is not oneness. Oneness is all about bringing the divine into human consciousness, harnessing divine energies for sorting out your problems, be they financial, health, relationship, or whatever you want to achieve. And now I find the spiritual dimension is slowly being faded out. I can see it happening in Dubai. I can see it happening in Korea. So in different countries, they are doing it differently, but they are facing out their spirituality. My whole work has been to bring the divine back into human consciousness. Because over the last few centuries, we have been losing the touch with the divine. Be you a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or a Buddhist. I said, let us bring divinity back into their lives. For a Christian, in a Christian way. In a Buddhist way. So let them get back in touch with their own faith, their own divine nature. Whatever the divine is for the particular faith. That is how, like harnessing solar energy for other purposes, like harnessing wind power, let them harness divine energy, sir. But why is the divine energy fading away? Slowly they're saying it's something secular. Am I not secular? I have met people from all peace in the world. They're so happy to talk to me. There's no problem at all. The Dalai Lama continues to be a monk. He continues to be a Tibetan Buddhist, but nobody would call him a cult figure. People respect him, they love him. So the whole fact is, they are saying we must remove the spiritual dimension. They're, without my knowledge, without telling me, it is being phased out. Then what is this work all about? If it's only a psychology course, there are far better courses than this. The beauty about this course is, it harnesses divine energies. It is psychology plus spirituality. But I see slowly, very subtly, very carefully, very gently, they are doing it. In some cases, in some countries, they are going with great force. In some countries, they are very careful. Where there are a lot of trainers, others, they are more careful. Where there are no trainers, they are very, very fast. They are racing through. So, this is against the very nature of oneness. We hope that by 2012, man and God, in whatever form it can, he can call it the universe or some energy or whatever he wants, he should get in touch with the transpersonal, that which is beyond the person, which we call the transpersonal, he must get in touch with it. So the whole thing is being destroyed. And I call this destruction of oneness. What I want is dissolution of oneness. That's exactly where the difference lies. Continue, Annie.
Yes, just a moment. Yes, Bhagwan, thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful clarifications. We have still a lot of people talking about enlightenment, Bhagwan. And they, you know, they are wondering, what is this state? And they are also asking, are the dasas enlightened? Could you say something about this?
Yes. See, first of all, we must make a distinction between the enlightened state and enlightenment itself. The enlightened state, almost all dasas have had. That is, the state comes and the state goes. What we call the kundalini, when it is up. As long as it is up, you are in an enlightened state. When it comes down, you lose that state. And it cannot always be up. It depends upon so many other factors. Now, for example, your kundalini is up in the morning, let's say 6 o'clock, very, very high. And when you see a dog, you might feel that you are the dog. You might hug the dog, kiss the dog. You might do all those things because that is so real for you because you see that you are the dog. You and the dog are not separate because the kundalini is high. But towards evening, when the kundalini goes down, suppose by some chance it goes down, you might very well kick the same dog. So in the morning, your behavior could have been loving and kissing the dog. Now it could be kicking the dog. So this is the enlightened state. Now, by enlightenment, we do not mean something which comes and goes. That is permanent. That is, you have become a transformed being, a better human being. You are very naturally kind. You are very naturally compassionate. Naturally, there is no conflict in you. There is peace in you. There is reduced thought noise. There is not enough thought chatter in the head. So you feel very calm. You feel very peaceful. You seem to feel connected with people. Not that you feel that you are that person. That is when the kundalini rises. When the kundalini is not up, but you are enlightened, you are clearly a better human being who has peace in the heart, who has no conflict, who has inner integrity. I can, of course, go on. We actually have about 108 qualities. Mm-hmm. For each one of them, if you have, you could be declared enlightened. For example, if you can experience reality as it is, you are enlightened. If you clearly realize that there's no thinker but only thought, then also you're enlightened. Now, for example, Ramana is enlightened, Buddha is enlightened, Sri Aurobindo is enlightened, Ramakrishna in India is enlightened. I'm just giving a few names. But all these things are very different kinds of enlightenments. The two cannot be called to be the same. What we are talking is, we are listing out these qualities and we are telling, let us acquire as many of these as possible so that you in turn would be able to affect the world. You in turn would be able to transform the world. For example, 2012, all that we are saying about 2012 is, in 1989, the new age was conceived and the energies shifted. That was when this phenomenon began, and not just phenomenon, many a phenomena was born in the world at that time. I have personally met these people and I know what happened to them, like what happened to me. And as all of you know, that was the year when the Berlin Wall collapsed and communism came down, the Tiananmen Square in China, and so many other things happened. There was a definite change of energies in the year 1989. What we are saying is, in 2012, that child which was conceived is going to be delivered. It's going to be another big shift in energies. When energy shifts happen, people's perception very easily changes. So that is when those whosoever wants to bring about a change, they have their best chance, especially after 2012. Suppose you are an environmentalist, you can bring about environmental changes. Suppose you are an educationist, you can bring about changes in the field of education. Suppose you work in the field of health or medicine, you can bring about changes there. Suppose you are a spiritual person, you can bring about changes in the spiritual sphere. And in the spiritual sphere, there are many, many people working now. But whatever field you work, whoever is working, there must be 64,000 people whose perception has been changed. Only then there will be a global impact. It will be impossible to talk to everybody and do anything. You have to build up. Whoever wants to do this work, anybody on this earth, whether he wants to do with health or with the environment, 64,000 are very crucial. So that is a number which affects human consciousness. All that we are saying is, let us get 64,000 people, work on them, either through Skype or in the center here. Let us elevate their levels of consciousness. With that, the work is done. You don't need an organization. You don't need an LIU and go around the world and be talking all those things. This part of 64,000, many countries have fulfilled their quota. We are, in fact, quickly racing into that. The trainers are doing an excellent job. So if we do that, then we could influence people's perception in the year 2012. But that is not the end of the story. Thereafter, it continues on its own. We don't have to do anything. We are not the ones who are going to change the energy. That's a natural phenomenon. All that we are going to do is, we are going to make use of that to help people get closer together, to feel connected, to feel more calm, to more peaceful, which is what we call enlightenment. So anybody can make use of it. Like if you have electricity, if we can now speak on the phone now, we can see a video film, we can run an electric motor, we can light up a bulb. So the energies are there available. In 2012, it's available. If we are ready for that, we can do a grand work. If we fail in 2012, okay, it may be in 2013, 2014. But why go on postponing? This is not an unachievable target. That is all I am saying. And that way, there are dasas who are enlightened, who are transformed people, who do not get hurt, who do not react, who are very calm and peaceful, who are not excited. There are enlightened people, not only among dasas, even among ordinary people. The only problem with them is they do not make noise. They are actually leading anonymous, there's no craving in them. They're leading very quiet lives. They give an insight here to somebody, an insight there to somebody, helping somebody. Because a truly enlightened man will not make noise. He will not propagate himself. He will not try to acquire significance. Nothing will be there. Unfortunately, these people are very quiet, silent people. And the ones who make a lot of noise are mistaken to be the ones who are really capable of. So there are enlightened dasas, and there are also enlightened people. But they may or may not be in an enlightened state. Sometimes they get the state, sometimes they do not have the state. But enlightenment remains. They are awakened people. Continue, Annie.
Thank you so much, Bhagwan, for giving us this time today. And we really thank you from deep within, all of us. We are very, very grateful. And we were given 20 minutes, and we have already taken more than that time. So I would like to thank you so much.
I enjoy talking to you all. Thank you so much.
We love you, Shri Bhagavan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bhagavan.
Thank you, Bhagavan.
Thank you for staying true to your vision, Bhagavan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bhagavan. See you soon.
Yes.
I'm expecting all soon.
Yes.
We come to India very soon.
Yes.
Waiting for you.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you. Pranams to you, Bhagavan. Yeah.
Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.